Holy Spirit, would you speak to us through these words now, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. Brian invited his mother over for dinner one night, and during the course of the meal, Brian's mother could not help but notice how beautiful Brian's roommate Angie was. And Brian's mom had long been suspicious of the relationship between Brian and Angie. Before Angie moved in, she warned her son about the temptation of having this girl and move into his apartment, even though they had separate bedrooms. Over the course of the evening, while watching the two react, she started to wonder if there was more between the two than met the eye. And so, reading his mom's thoughts, Brian volunteered, "I know what you must be thinking, Mom, but I assure you, Angie and I are just roommates." About a week later, Angie came to Brian saying, "Ever since your mother came to dinner, I've been unable to find my beautiful silver gravy ladle. You don't suppose she took it, do you?" Brian said, "Well, I doubt it, but I'll send her an email just to find out for sure." So he sat down and he wrote, "Dear Mom, I'm not saying that you did take Angie's gravy ladle from the house, and I'm not saying that you did not take the gravy ladle, but the fact remains that it has been missing ever since you were here for dinner. Love, Brian." Well, the next day, Brian received a reply, "Dear son, I'm not saying that you do share your bed with Angie, and I'm not saying that you do not share your bed with Angie, but the fact remains that if she was sleeping in her own bed, she would have found the gravy ladle by now. Love, Mom." This is the second in my series of sermons on the hard sayings of Jesus. Jesus said many things that are difficult for us, for people to understand, and sometimes we kind of think to ourselves, well, maybe I just will never understand what Jesus is talking about. And this week I'm going to be talking about something that Jesus said related to temptation. And it's something that we say every Sunday at church. So if you'll turn again to our gospel lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Again, that's on page 1508 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to turn there. And this, of course, is Jesus speaking about different aspects of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying this in verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they stand in the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Now, this is not difficult to understand. In Jesus' day, there were many people that loved to pray in public, pray out loud, so that everyone could see how spiritual they were and how good their prayers were and that sort of thing. And so Jesus was talking about the fact that those who pray like that, they've received their reward, and that reward is the praise of the people that give them praise for their prayers. He goes on to say in verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Again, not hard to understand, because we recognize that when we pray alone by ourselves, then we're not trying to impress anyone. We're not trying to show them how spiritual we are. We're simply trying to communicate with God in prayer. And that's most easily done by ourselves. And so he continues in verse 7. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." It's easy for us to get into the habit of just praying the same old prayers and not really thinking much about what we're praying. We can say our prayers over our meals, you know. "Bless, O Lord, these gifts to our use and us to your service, making us ever mindful of the needs of others through Christ our Lord." And we just kind of throw it out there without really thinking about what we're praying sometimes. Or we can say, "God bless Mommy, God bless Daddy, and God bless Grandma and Grandpa and all the ships at sea," and really just kind of say the same prayers over and over again without thinking much about what we're praying. And that's really what Jesus is kind of talking about here. He's saying that when we pray, we really need to pray specifically. Pray for things that we need in our lives. And even though God knows what we need before we ask him, he still tells us to ask for the things that we need. Now, why does he do that? Why does God say, even though he knows what we need, why do we need to pray? Well, that way we can really open ourselves up and open the doorway for him to answer those prayers that we ask according to his will. And we open the door for prayers to be answered by our faith in him, by asking him for the things that we need. Certainly, as we do that, we're really asking God for, not just for general things, but we're asking him for specific things. In verse 9 he says, then this is how you should pray. And then Jesus recites what we often say is the Lord's Prayer. And he says, when we pray, our Father in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, as we're used to saying, we're acknowledging that there is someone who is over us, someone who is above us, someone to whom we must give an account. And so we're asking, we're praying to our Father in heaven. We're able to pray to our Father in heaven because Jesus has given us the ability to do that by us having a relationship with him. And when we have a relationship with Jesus, we have access to the Father. We have the ability to bring our requests to him. And so we can address God as our Father because Jesus gave us permission to do so, and he told us that's how we should pray. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name, in other words. And then we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're asking for God's kingdom to intervene in our earthly kingdom, to manifest his power and his glory in our midst, to do the things that we cannot do on our own, to do things for us that we're not able to do on our own strength and our own power. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're asking God to give us for all of the things that we need, for the food, the shelter, the clothing, for the finances we need. We're asking him also for things even more important than that. We're asking him for spiritual food that he gives us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. So give us this day our daily bread. And then he says words that are difficult for us to follow sometimes. And he says we are to forgive those who forgive our debtors, or forgive those our debts, our sins, and to forgive our trespasses, as we say in the traditional Lord's Prayer. As we forgive those who trespass or who are our debtors, who we're indebted to. And so we are to forgive those who sin against us. Jesus says in another place, if we don't forgive those who sin against us, how can God forgive us our sins when we sin against him? The next part of the Lord's Prayer really is one of the most difficult parts to understand, and that is when he says, lead us not into temptation. This is a petition really that has puzzled Christians for many centuries, because we think to ourselves that's related only to temptation to sin. And certainly God would not lead us into a temptation to sin. Certainly James writes in his letter that God cannot be tempted, nor will he tempt anyone. And so Jesus adds, but deliver us from evil, or it can be translated, deliver us from the evil one, as we heard in our reading today. A priest said one time that he'd been teaching his 3-year-old daughter, Caitlin, the Lord's Prayer. And they had been going over it and over it every night, and finally she wanted to try it on her own. And so he says this, I listened with pride as she carefully enunciated each word right up to the end of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, she prayed, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Well, I know that there are some emails that can be evil, and I certainly seem to receive some evil spam from time to time. But Jesus isn't talking about getting rid of emails here. He's really talking about this prayer, and is this prayer really a prayer which is saying, deliver us from temptation? Or is it really saying, preserve us in the midst of temptation? I think really is leaning toward the latter in terms of interpreting this way, and because there's a similar petition that is in the Jewish morning and evening prayer. And they pray a prayer like this, do not bring us into the power of temptation. That seems to me, when we find ourselves surrounded by temptation, may we not be overpowered by it. Temptation, when the word occurs in the older versions of the Bible, often refers to times of trial and testing rather than just temptation to sin. And that's reflected in the contemporary version of the Lord's Prayer that you see in the prayer book. And it says, save us from the time of trial. And so when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he was really being tested in the wilderness. God was testing his resolution to accept his will for Jesus, which Jesus knew was going to happen to him, and also testing his faith in God. It seems that the best way to understand this petition is, lead us not into that time of being tested or tempted in a way that would cause us to turn away from you and from your love. It's not a prayer that God would lead us away from temptation. If Jesus was led into temptation, then surely we will face temptation in our lives as well. St. Paul said that Christians will face temptation. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with every temptation, he will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. So we all are going to be tempted from time to time. And it's not that Jesus is leading us into temptation, but we are faced with temptation, and he always gives us a way out of that temptation if we want to take advantage of that. F.F. Bruce once wrote, this implies something like the following as the intention for our petition. We know that our faith needs to be tested if it is to grow strong. Indeed, the conditions of life in this world make it inevitable that our faith must be tested. But some tests are so severe that our faith could not stand up to the strain. Therefore, we pray not to be brought into tests of such severity. If our faith gave way under the strain, that might involve us in moral disaster. It would also bring discredit on the name of God, whom we call our Father. End quote. Perhaps the best rendering of this passage may be, may our faith stand firm in the time of trial and temptation, then deliver us from all of Satan's ploys and attempts to get us to abandon our faith in God. You'll notice in our reading today that the traditional doxology that's at the end of the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, is not there. And sometimes people will say, well, maybe it should have been included in that. And it is included in some manuscripts in the Greek language, but not in all of the most number of manuscripts. And so it's left out of some translations. But that really is a phrase that really is meant to bring the Lord's Prayer to a conclusion. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And certainly this is something that's also reflected in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So the Lord's Prayer really is not the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. And so it's such a powerful prayer that we include it in many of our liturgies, and we use it every Sunday in our Sunday services. When you pray this prayer, however, don't just go through the words because you know it by heart. Pray it from your heart. Pray it in a way that is really a prayer that's being directed to God. It's not like babbling to the pagans that we're doing this. Instead, think about each part of that prayer and realize that you're asking God for a number of requests. You're asking him for his help to help you to resist evil and to resist sin and temptation, and ultimately not to allow anything in this world or the flesh or the devil to draw you away from God and from his love. Movies and TVs sometimes you'll see people, when they get into difficult situations, desperate times, just begin to say the Lord's Prayer. And really, if you think about it, that is a prayer that Jesus means for a person to pray when they have a relationship with Jesus, when they know the Lord. And that's why we're always encouraging people, if you don't know Christ in your life, to invite him into your life, to make him the Lord of your life, so that when you pray that prayer, you're making a real connection with God. And as you pray that prayer, you're really asking God for his help in your life. And you're asking him for something that he wants to give you because you have a relationship with him. And so as we pray that prayer, remember that it's not just a prayer that contains a difficult saying in which we're saying, lead us not into temptation. We're asking God to protect us from all the times of trial that we have. We're asking him to take care of every aspect of our need, which means really we're putting our hands into his loving care. And that's what the Lord's Prayer really is all about. So as we pray that prayer in the upcoming part of the service, remember that it is a prayer that is designed not just to be said by rote, It is a prayer to remind us that it contains really a form of prayer that outlines how we are to pray to our Father each time we pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us a way to understand this sometimes difficult prayer, that you've given us new understandings about how we can pray this prayer and make it a meaningful thing that we say each time we pray it. Lord, help us to not just use this as something we spew out each Sunday, but rather something that we use to connect with you so that it might draw us closer to you and put us more in touch with your will. We do pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come in this service and throughout the rest of this week, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.